if you have the page that I tried to photocopy for you, it will say on the top of it, Halimud b'seder kodshim maloso uskuloso. And three lines below that, it would say, Chachma zeseder kodshim. So that's if you happen to have the text. For some people who are geniuses, you don't need the text. But for those of us who like to see a text, you know, I wanted to give you that possibility. So amongst the various pages that you have, you may find such a page. The first paragraph, which starts with a pasuk in Yeshaya, we covered already yesterday. And we were up to the second section, which is called Mesechta Zvachim Amuka Ma'od. And that's based on a Gemara in Bav Metzia. And I realize that there's an important phrase here in Rashi, in the Gemara in Bav Metzia, which is being quoted here. And Rashi says that Rav Ashi told one of his contemporaries, Rav Acha, that, you know, when I'm ready to field your questions, because then I know your questions are going to be very profound, that's when we learn Shechitas Kodshim, which is Masechta Zvachim. And Rashi goes out of his way to point out that the study of Masechta Zvachim, hi amuka, amuka, is a very deep, profound study. And Rashi doesn't use that term for any other Masechta, to the best of my knowledge. Only with regard to Masechta Zvachim, to explain why Rav Ashi says, you know, when we get to Masechta Zvachim, then Rav Acha, your intellectual skills will be so sharp, then I'll be ready to handle your questions. Your questions will be tzumzach, as we say, to the point. Then the Gemara in Erevin tells us a whole story about Rabbi Eloi, and in this story about Rabbi Eloi, the statement of Rabbi Eloi seems to lack any sort of coherent meaning. And he uses words that we don't understand. He was speaking almost in code. And Rashi deciphers this code. And Rashi tells us that the word aharonit in this code is really a formulation of the word aaron in a different way. And it's a reference to Seder Kodshim, otherwise known in the Gemara in Erevin as Masechta Aaron, the Masechta of the Avoda of Aaron HaKohen. But that's not the punchline here. What's more important to us is that in this code, there's another word that makes no sense, and that's Iranit. What does that mean? You might think it comes from the word a city, and he was identifying his location or where he came from. No. Rashi says that the word Iranit comes from the word air. Air means to be awake, to be sharp. And Rashi says that why would the study of Masechta Aaronit make you Ironit? Why does the study of Masechta Zvachim make you into someone who's very awake? And the answer is, Mishum, Rashi says, she amuka. It is very profound. Uma oreret lomdeha. And it sort of arouses a student to study very carefully. So Rashi is giving us now what I call a whole new dimension to the study of Kodshim. Until now we've been saying, number one, and then unfortunately this is part of Shas that's been neglected for so many millennia and no one's studying it. We spoke about the fact that it has a special schooler that studying the Torah of Achatos is a replacement for bringing Achatos. We spoke about the potential of studying Kodshim to bring the Beis Hamikdash and the Bias Goel, Elio Anavi, and so forth and so on. But now we have another dimension to the study of Kodshim, and that's what I call the intellectual dimension. And, you know, even in terms of social scientists in contemporary life, I don't have to tell you that there are people on the face of the earth who will tell you that the Jews have a certain intellectual capacity that's very unique. And I'm talking about non-Jews who will admit to this, and some will attribute it to the study of Gemara. If you take that approach, you might attribute it to the study of Kodshim, even more than all of Shas. So they're like, Tzvei Dinim, there's one din in learning Shas, and there are a bunch of Koreans who are trying to break their heads on that, then maybe it'll sharpen their minds a little bit. I don't know. I'm a little skeptical, a little bit cynical about it. But one thing I could tell you, that according to Rashi in Masechta Erevin, if you had to break down Shas into its parts, and you would ask which part of Shas has the greatest propensity for sharpening the intellect, Rashi would no doubt identify Kodesh. And it seems to me, again, this is just my own Levi Omerli, that the reason why the Soloveitchik dynasty, starting with Reb Chaim, who dedicates a major chunk, probably 40% of his Chidushim are in Kodesh, and then passing it on to Reb Velvel, and now we have Chidushim Reb Moshe that were never published, and Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, that's Reb Chaim's Bechor, that have been published in the last 10 years or so. Again, major chunks of the Sefer are on Kodshim. Now we have a Sefer that was co-authored by Reb Moshe Soloveitchik and his son Reb Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, our Rebbe, and it's all on Kodshim. And in the Brisky Yeshivas here in Eretz Yisrael, that's pretty much all they learn is Kodshim. How did that happen? And maybe the answer is that since the Derech HaLimud of the Soloveitchik dynasty is so sharp and so profound and conceptual, to take sugyas that look very technical, like the Rav used to say about Yoredeya, that Yoredeya before Reb Chaim was pots and pans, you know, and Reb Chaim made Yoredeya into the most conceptual limud. And since they were so fascinated by the structure, Kodshim fit the bill. And this spread out to so many of their Talmidim. For example, one of the Brisker Rav's Talmidim is Rabbi Yileid Maland. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in Brooklyn of Beis HaTalmud. Most of his Chidushim, or for example, you take the Evan Ozel that we quoted extensively when we were learning Shabbos, the Rosh Yeshiva of a great yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael, Eitz Chaim. He was a Talmud of Reb Chaim. Again, major chunks of his work, the Evan Ozel, are on Kodshim. And maybe the reason is because of this aspect that Kodshim is so profound and so challenging. In the next paragraph, the Chofetz Chaim, who's again writing these letters to Klal Yisrael, quotes a Rashi in Masechta Menachos. That was the Agadah that we started with 2 days ago, that the Gemara Menachos Kuf Yud speaks about bringing a Karbon Mincha in our day, and how can we bring a Karbon Mincha in our day? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that the Pasuk in Malachi at the very end of Tanakh is alluding to Talmidei Chachamim, and here there are two Girsos in the Gemara. According to one Girsa, it's Elu Talmidei Chachamim Ha'oskim BaTorah. Torah, just in a general sense. But Rashi has a different Girsa. Elu Talmidei Chachamim Ha'oskim BeHilchos Avoda. And Rashi emphasizes B'chol Mokom, which means anywhere on the face of the earth. This is not a limud that is dedicated exclusively to Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, in the environs of the Beis HaMikdash. And anywhere, the study of what he calls Hilchas Avoda is going to bring about a replacement for the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the Chofetz Chaim on the left column, in a paragraph that starts Bivadai, writes in an essay called Tzipiso Li Yeshua, a very famous essay that was penned by the Chofetz Chaim. He writes that since the Gemara establishes that by being Osek Behilchas Avoda is Malalov HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki Ilu Hikriv Es HaKarbonos Befoal, the Gemara says, as if he brought the Karbonos, he goes on and he says the following, that if a person claims that he is waiting for the Beis HaMikdash, he's a Mavakesh, he's a Metzapel Yeshua, and he says, what is he willing to do to prove that he is a genuine Metzapel Geula? So in the next paragraph that starts Ilu, for those who are following in the text, he writes, imagine what would happen when Emir Tzashem, the Mashiach, will come, and we can all go to Eretz Yisrael and bring Karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. He said, who would be stingy? Who would limit his efforts and all the tircha that's necessary to come to Eretz Yisrael? Harei hoya meschazik b'chol kocho, he would certainly gird all his energies, lalos le'Eretz Yisrael, lahakriv karbon l'Hashem, to bring a karbon to Hashem. And he wouldn't waste any time or any energy. He would certainly put his, you know, his best foot forward. And he says that now HaKadosh Baruch has promised us that even in Chutz Laaretz, even without the Beis HaMikdash, Limudenu b'inyonei halacha se'elu, God considers it that when we study these halachas, ki'ilu anu makrivim karbon mamish. V'lachein, he says, therefore, ein tzarech al zeh lekates raglov linsoa v'lo laharbis b'hotza. He doesn't have to get all that effort, you know, and get on a plane and spend all the money for a plane ticket. Karav eleinu adover miot. Kol echad bebeiso ubebeis midrasho. So I'm home here in Radin, in Litta, in my own humble base medrash. The yuchal litake nafsho, he can achieve the same kapara of the karbon. Kayom, today, says the Chofetz Chaim, kimo bizman amigdash. He says that who would waste his time and say, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Who would waste the opportunity away? You know, life is full of challenges and opportunities. He says, "Halo kol echad v'echad miYisrael b'yemei chayov, at any time, in any place, yochel lahakriv al yedei limudo karban ola al eizem mitzvah saseh." Okay, this we have to learn that an ola is a replacement for a if someone was derelict in the fulfillment of an essay, or a karban asher, a karban chatos if he was derelict in a lo saseh, or a karban pesach v'chol hakarbanos hamoadim. Ubavonosenu arabim, and much to our chagrin, the situation is ein kol v'ein ola. He says people rarely even read the psukim of the karbanos on a daily basis, and not only that, even those who do read the psukim, einam yodin biuran upirusham, they don't know what these psukim are all about. They read it like out of rote. So what happened here? If the Beis HaMikdash was built, Mashiach came, we'd all be running, you know, get yourself a plane ticket. I would say buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael before the prices go up, right? And we don't spare any energy. But now we have the opportunity that God promises us that through our limud, we could bring a karban chatos, karban asham. We could bring the karban pesach, and we're not taking advantage of that opportunity. And then he quotes the Rambam in two places. Now, everything that we've said here sounds like it, you know, it would be appropriate for what I call the philosophers who build their philosophy in Jewish thought on mysticism, on Hasidus. The Rambam fits into the exact extreme, the other extreme. He was a rationalist par excellence. And let's see what the Rambam writes in his Hakdama, his introduction to Zvachim, which is on the bottom right column. He writes, Ra'isi lahakdim, says the Rambam, I want to give an introduction, Dvarim, different things that I want to present to you, b'chaluke ha-karbonos, I want to tell you how the karbonos are divided up into different sugim, into different categories, lifnei sha'aschil b'pirush seder zeh, before I interpret seder kodshim. And once again, the Rambam is a prime example of a Rishon who put his energies into kodshim. Almost all that we have in Kodshim is always related somehow back to the Rambam. So much of the Rambam in Kodshim. And he says, Afal pi, even though you could divide up Kodshim and Karbonos in a way, Dover Pashut, Kula Mikros Betorah, you could read the Psukim in the Torah and see the classification. But he says, no. He says, for some reason, people Ein ma'ainim bo. They don't study kodshim. Ki'im, with the exception of ma'atim ibnei ha'adam. At the time of the Rambam, again, there were very few people who would study kodshim. And ein in yonim nizkarim. And they don't remember, even those who study kodshim, they don't review it. Kidei she'yizkarim, so they should to remember them. Afal pishakfar ein bohem, even if he already studied them. And he says, perhaps the reason we don't remember what we learn is because ein sham maisa, we don't do the actual avoda, hagorem chazaroso, which would motivate us to review what we know. He says, v'ein b'nei adam sholim al shum dovermam klal, you know, when the rabbonim are waiting for shailas, for questions, nobody's asking any questions about about Kodshim. Ad, says the Rambam, and he bemoans this situation that describes Shehushvu Behem HaChocham HaGodol VaSachol Shevahamon. In other words, the unintelligent, uncouth, rank and file citizen of Klal Yisrael knows as much about Kodshim as the Chacham Gadol. The Chacham Gadol doesn't know Kodshim. How can we tolerate such a ration? In Rov HaTalmidim Einom Yodim Mina Karbonos. Afalpi, even though Nemrubo Mikros Merubim, there are so many psukim. And the Rambam, when he gets to Masech de Menachos, he writes in his Pirush HaMishnah, this was in the Rambam, the Rambam wrote his Pirush HaMishnah in his youth, he's about 30 years old, he's full of energy, he's very idealistic. And he quotes the Gemara that says, as we saw in Menachos, that Zos Torah Sa'ola Kol Osik V'Torah Sa'ola Ki'ilu Hikriv Ola U'mincha V'chatas V'yasham. He goes out of his way to quote the statements, the Agadic statements in Chazal about the significance and the power of learning Kodshim. And he says, Talmidei Chacham Ha'oski B'Hilchas Avoda, he also has the Girsa of Rashi, is Aleihem HaKasuv Omer Shehi Keilu Nivne HaMikdash B'Yomav. That because he's Osek Bilchas Avoda, it's if the Beis HaMikdash was built in his time. Lefichach, says the Rambam, Roi Li Adam Lasok B'Inyonei HaKorbanos. And not just to learn them superficially, but Lehizbonein Bohem. Again, if you were to close your eyes, you would say, this is not the Rambam, this is the Chafetz Chaim, writing, almost 1,000 years later. And don't be influenced in the wrong direction to say, well, it's not relevant today. And finally, for today's Hakdama, because I want to finish this Hakdama tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, he says that based on Avistar Rav Nosson, he says that Kol Zman Shavodas Beis HaMikdash Kayemes, he says as long as we had the Beis HaMikdash, Ha'olam Mizbarech, there was a blessing that came down from Shamayim as a result of the Beis HaMikdash, Al Yoshvav, and those who live in the land, settle the land, U'gesharmim Yordim Bizmanam, and we get the rains coming down, as the Pasuk says, we say it every day, twice a day, La'avos Hashem Elkech, Lovdom Chol Avavchem, Chol Nafshechem, V'nasati, Mitar Artzchem, Be'ito, Yore Umalkos, V'yasavtu D'gonecha. But now, Bizman, She'ein Avodis Beis HaMikdash Kayomis, Ein ha'olam isbarech. We don't have the bracha for the Yoshvei Haaretz, for the Geshavim to come down bismanom. So what do we do? What's our way out? What's our fallback position? Amru Yisrael, if they're Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, what are we going to do? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. You've taken away the Mikdash. The Mikdash is destroyed. It's in ruins. Hey Shiva and Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh comes down and declares, Im Atem Tasku Bavodas Beis HaMikdash, Ani mevarech eskem kivat chila. I will replace the original blessing, the magnificent gifts that come from Hashem to bestow upon man, and it'll be the shomim beitam, and that's all because the avoda now takes the form of study of the study of the avoda and the karbonos. Okay, then. So that's what I wanted to add to our discussion in the Hakdama. And believe me, we'll finish this tomorrow. It's just a couple of more paragraphs, but each paragraph gives us more chizuk in the study of Kodesh.
Amen.
Rabosa, yesterday we made some progress, and I want to review the main point of yesterday's discussion about Lishma and about the principle called Stoma Lishma. Now, what we had yesterday was a fascinating contrast between Kodshim, and specifically Lishma and Kodshim, and the universal concept of Lishma. The paradigm case outside of the realm of Kodshim of Lishma was writing a get. And we explained that when it comes to Lishma in get, the sofer has to have in mind specifically that man and that woman. and a generic kind of lishma where he says that anyone with that name or any pair with those names is not sufficient and the get is worthless. Which means that lishma is a positive requirement in get. However, although one might be tempted to apply that same definition to kachim, and therefore if I'm bringing a carbon ola, then the lishma has to be l'shema ola, and nothing else would do. Rashi, at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, and we'll see it also in the Rambam, Rashi says that what was the problem here? Shenishchat ola l'shem shlamim. It wasn't that there was an absence of a kavana of a lishma l'shem ola, but he messed up and he had a kavana of shinui kodesh for another karbon, namely for the karbon shlamim. Rashi gives that example. Why did Rashi feel compelled to do so? So yesterday we began with the Brisker Rav, which is quoted here in the Sefer called Nefesh Tova, and again, we're not going to get into the whole issue about photocopying it and so forth and so on. I leave the Sefer for you here on the desk if you want to take advantage of it and photocopy it. But at the very beginning of the Sefer Nefesh Tova, he quotes extensively from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav asks a slightly different question than the question we had on Rashi. Why Rashi has to say Ola L'Shem Shlom if Rashi could have said he just didn't have a L'Shem Ola? He asks a different question. When the Rambam codifies in Hilchas Psulei HaMukdashim the classical and very profound negative kavana, which is called Pigul Machsheves Chutzlum Kobo Chutzlum Mano, the Rambam goes out of his way to integrate Shinui Kodesh, Shinui Shema Kodesh, together with Machsheves Pigul. And the Rambam writes, Shlosha Machsheves, Shalosh Machsheves, Ein Sheposlim Es HaKarbonos. He's got two Machsheves that disqualify the Karba because of Chutzlum Mano and Chutzlum Komo, respectively. That's Pigul. And then he writes, Machsheves Shinui Hashem. And why does the Rambam choose to equate Shinui Hashem with the case of Pigul? Pigul is a machsheves, is a machsheva poselis, is a negative kavana. So based on this and a whole bunch of proofs that the Brisker Rav brings from our Mishnah here at the beginning of Zvachim, he presents the thesis that although the general requirement of lishma that applies in many different areas of halacha applies equally well to kachim, but in kachim there's an additional halacha that is unique to karbonos, and that is a machshava haposeles, a negative kavana. And the negative kavana is what our Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim is interested in. And the Mishnah says, Shalom Lishman. And as a result of the Shalom Lishman, the Mishnah says two things. In the case of Shara Korbanos, other than Chatos and Pesach, the Korban is not Ole, Lebailim, L'Shem Chofa. In the case of Chatos V'Yosham, Shalom Lishman completely invalidates the Korban. You have to throw it in the rubbish. It's worth nothing. And the Brisker Rav says that this Shalom Lishman is a negative Kavana. And it has the status of a machshava posela, similar to what? To machsheves pigul. And that's why the Rambam integrates it together with pigul. And that's why Rashi, as we said before, says l'shem shlamim, because he had a negative kavana. And he undermines this carbon to the extent to which the bailim who are chayiv a carbon ola cannot fulfill their obligation, and they'll have to replace this carbon ola with a different carbon ola. This one will be an adava, it's fine and dandy, it's a voluntary carbon, but as far as the chova, they have to bring a replacement carbon. And the Brisker Rav says, I'll prove this to you. Because if you're going to tell me that the absence of lishma, in other words, let's say he brings a carbon ola, he doesn't have in mind l'shem ola, that's what passels the carbon, then I don't understand. The Gemara tells us that if the Kohen in his Shechita, he had kavanah l'shem chulin, for whatever reason, either deliberately or more likely it was unintentionally, you know, he got confused between kachim and a korban and a behemoth chulin, and he made a mistake, and he had in mind, yeah, he's one of the great shochtim in Yerushalayim, so he had in mind that he was shechting chulin. The Gemara says that it's a perfectly kosher korban. Again, we'll see about chatos might be different, but in shar korbanos. So why is that so? I mean, after all, he didn't have a kavana l'shem chatos, l'shem ola, l'shem shlamim. And if you need lishma, the carbon should be pasul. Why is it kosher? Obviously, we're dealing with a different concept here, that what undermines the validity of the carbon is a machshava poselis. And in the case of l'shem chulin, that's not called a machshava poselis. Why? We'll have to see. It's called Edomino, whatever that means. Then he brings another proof. He says, the Gemara says that in the case of chatos, if you have a kavana for a carbon chatos l'shem ola, the carbon is completely pasul. And now Yossi comes along in that Mishnah, switches it around, that if you had kavana l'shem chatos, in the case of an ola, etc., etc., that pasuls the carbon. Why is that so? If we're saying that in chatos, the reason why the carbon is pasul is because he didn't have l'shem chatos, he didn't have that positive l'shma, so why should it be in the reverse, in a case where a person had a kavana l'shma l'shem chatos, why should it be pasul? And why are you making these distinctions? If you're telling me I need kavana l'shma, then in the absence of kavana l'shma, the carbon should always be pasul. What difference does it make if he has kavana l'shem chatos, he had kavana l'shem ola? Then we have the sheet of Shimon Achi Azariah, and he says that it all depends whether his kavana was for a different carbon that was gavoa or it was namuch. Why make these distinctions? It's totally irrelevant. Just if he didn't have kavana for the so for example, it comes out according to Shimon Achi Azariah, if it was kachim kalim and he had kavana l'shem kachim, then it would be a perfectly kosher carbon. But why? You know, he should have had l'shem shlamim, instead he had l'shem ola. That's not l'shma. And the answer is, again, because we're dealing not with the chisaron, the absence of l'shma, but rather we're dealing with a negative kavana, as I call it, or as Ben called it, an incorrect kavana, which is a machshava poselis. And now we have to understand what are the rules and the scope of this machshava poselis. And that's what our mission is all about. And a machshava poselis in chatos is going to completely undermine the karbon. A machshava poselis in other kodshim, I'm not talking about karbon pesach now, is going to mean that the bailim are not yotzei. They're not. It's not all l'shem chova. This is all because it is a machshava haposeles. Okay. Now, putting this article on the side for a moment, because what I really want to study with you today is the next piece, which I hope you have a photocopy of. That's on page Vav in the Sefer Nefesh Tova. You have that Bedin Chiyuv Akrayis Beneder. Okay, if you have that photocopy. But before that, I wanted to point out to you, I told you my library here is very limited. I have basically 3 Sfarim so far. I hope to get more, but right now I only have 3. I have the Masifta, Masech Zvokim. I have the Sefer Nefesh Tova from the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva, and I have the Keren Ora. The Keren Ora is a classic, but I have here Rabbi Radinsky's edition of the Keren Ora with extensive footnotes, besides correcting the text. And the Keren Ora has an introduction to Masechet Zvachim, even before he gets to his Daf al Daf commentary on Daf Beis. And in his introduction, he focuses on the concept of Lishma in 3 different areas. Lishma as far as Kodshim, Lishma as far as writing a get, and Lishma in the case of what's called a Megillas Sota. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit later about a Megillas Sota. And as we mentioned yesterday, the Keren Ora claims that there's no requirement of Lishma in Kodshim. In Kodshim, whether it's Zrika, whether it's Shchita, whatever one of the avodas you chose, it's not. There's no requirement of Lishma. All that we have in Kodshim is Shalo Lishma. That Shalo Lishma, to some extent, with all the complicated rules, undermines the validity of the karma. But Mipnei Chisaron Lishma, Ein leposla. We don't passel a karbon because of the absence of lishma. And the Karanotah's language is very clear. He says, v'chi asi. And when does the pasuk tell me that you have to have a lishma? Lim'ute, to exclude in the chaving ba lezevach acher, if he has a kavon of lishma for a different karb. So this is fascinating. You know, I was wondering, Rabosai, before we go on and see his comparison to Gerushin, would the halacha of, or shall I say, this principle to differentiate between the absence of lishma as opposed to a negative kavana, would that have any bearing on tefillah? Let me explain to you what I mean. And again, this is just a 5-minute digression where we'll come back to base in just 5 minutes. We have a general universal issue about kavana in mitzvahs. What's that called? It's a srichas kavana or ain't srichas kavana. In tefillah, and the Rambam is very outspoken about this, there's no issue, you must have kavana. And I was wondering, what is the nature of that kavana in tefillah and in mitzvahs? So guess what? I found a very fascinating footnote. It's quite short here, in the pages that hopefully I gave out for you. In the last page that we covered here, the title of which is Halimud Beseder Kodshim, there's a footnote on the bottom, number Tes Zayin. Do you see that? All the way in the bottom left of the page. I don't know. It doesn't, on my edition, which is the original, it doesn't tell you what page it's on. He doesn't have page numbers.
We're looking at
okay? I mean the source that we started with. And he says the following. He says that when the Chafetz Chaim mentions that a lot of the halachas of Kodshim, because we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, are not relevant, halacha l'maisa, but despite that, the Chafetz Chaim encourages us with great zest and with gusto to study Kodshim. He says the following, Harbi halachos nagos bizman hazeh. Many of the halachas that we're going to learn in Kodshim apply even today without the Beis Hamikdash. V'nilmados miseder Kodshim. And, you know, I was wondering, do I have to be a bucky in all of Kodshim to come up with an example where Seder Kodshim would impact on my understanding of halacha that's relevant even today? And I'm not such a bucky in Kodshim. And all I know in Kodshim is Daf Beis Amud Aleph in Masechet Zvachim. That's all I know. So I'm in bad shape. He says, "Vafilu ha'alacha rishona she Masechet Zvachim." The very first halacha in Masechet Zvachim is relevant today. Well, when was the last time you saw anybody bring a chatos l'shem olah? So, what is he talking about? He says, "Shekarban shekarev shelo lishma is kosher ela eno meratza." Meratza means not olah l'shem bailo l'chavasa. V'zemel ameres lanu din bizman hazeh. Why? What's the relevance of Ola L'Shem Shlomim Bizman Hazeh? So he says the following, that tefillah, prayer, is a replacement for what? For karbanos. My Rebbe, the Rav, used to speak about this all the time, that tefillah as it didn't reach the karba. That's why there's a paragraph called Ritzeh that really just transforms the whole nature of that tefillah. But that's not for now. And he says the following, tefillah below kavana, according to the Shibolei Aleket, who's one of the Rishonim, he says that Mo'ila b'di'evet, that if you didn't have kavana and tefillah, then b'di'evet you were mispalel, but you'll have to replace it with another tefillah. Mm-hmm. Do you hear this, Rabosai? This is mind-boggling. I would have told you in the middle of the night, get out of here. A person done without kavanah is worthless. The Rambam is very outspoken, called tefillah below kavanah lav tefillah, the Rambam says. Perek Dalet Milchas Tefillah. Reb Chaim, in the beginning of his sefer, builds castles in the sky on this Rambam. Says the Shibolei Aleket, he's entitled to his own opinion, that b'di'evad it is a tefillah. Maybe because on some latent awareness, you know that you're standing in front of God. Who are you talking to? I don't know. But he says that you're going to have to replace that tefillah with a second one. Why? Because tefillos keneged tmidim tiknum. And kaimel on decholas vachim shenizbuchu shalol lishman. This is a Rishon talking. That since we paskin based on our mission at the beginning of Zvachim is ksherim el shalol olu l'shem bailim, is the same thing, therefore applies to tefillah olu. But in the case of tefillah lo olu l'shem chovim came nami tefillah belo kavona avikis stoma, it's like the case of stoma. Oh, now he goes a step further. This is fascinating. Okay, we're going to get into trouble here because this is really against the Rambam. He wants to say that it's possible that if a person has nothing in mind whatsoever when he davens, that's called stoma, then it's the same as bringing a carbon with nothing in mind. The Kohen had nothing in mind when he did the Shechita, for example, right? So he brought a Chatos and he had nothing in mind. He brought an Ola and he had nothing in mind. And we have a principle in Kachim that Stoma is Kilishma Dami. It has the same status as Lishma. So he wants to suggest that in Tefillah, which is a replacement for Karban, he says that if you have nothing in mind, which is me below Kavana, then you will Yotze a Tefillah. And now we're saying that, so again, there are two paragraphs here, Rabbi, so I don't want to confuse you. I'm getting confused myself, so I don't want you to get confused. One paragraph says that if I daven without any kavanah, there is a meaningful tefillah, but I wasn't yotzei my chiyuv, therefore I have to replace it. Now he's going a step further. And he's saying that if I didn't have any kavanah, then the principle of stamen lishma that applies to kachim would apply to tefillah as well. And I could even be yotzei my chiyuv tefillah without kavanah.
And without repeating.
Therefore you wouldn't have to repeat the tefillah. So we have three possibilities now. In tefillah below kavanah, the Rambam says that tefillah below kavanah is worthless. In other words, the Rambam requires a positive kavanah. The other possibility would say that tefillah below kavanah is tefillah below ol shem chovah. He has to replace it with a second tefillah. The third possibility, and this is the most radical possibility, is to say that since in kachim and karbanos, I don't need a kavanah lishma, all I need is that there shouldn't be a negative kavanah, the same thing would apply to tefillah. Now, I don't have an example of a negative kavanah in tefillah, but if you came up with such an example, that would be a problem according to the third shita that we're mentioning now, the third possibility. But assuming that it's just the absence of kavanah, there's no negative kavanah, and applying the principle that tefillah equals karbanos, then I could be yotzei with a tefillah without kavanah, under the rule of stama lishman. Okay, so that's just a very interesting comment that has to be thought of. You have to really take that under advice.
May I ask a question? When we say tefillos b'mokom karbanos tiknu, does that mean that the reason for tefillos are because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was eventually going to be metaken karbanos, and so the avos were metaken tefillos. Had there been never anticipated a time of karbanos, then there would have been no need for tefillah. Or does tefillos b'mokom karbanos tiknu mean we were going to have a chiyuv of tefillah anyway? But how do we know what is the basic structure?
I have to cut you off. I'll tell you why. I didn't really mean that we should get into a discussion about tefillah. The Yetzer Hara got the best of me here, and I saw that footnote. I was fascinated. Right. The answer to your question really lies in a machlokas in the Gemara, in Tefillos HaShachar, in Masech the Brachas, about whether Tefillos Avos Tiknum or Keneged Karbonos Tiknum. According to one Lishna, Keneged Karbonos Tiknum means that the Takon and the Chovos Tefillah only came about after the Churban Abayis to replace the Karbonos. The first Shita says Avos Tiknum, and they came way before the Beis HaMikdash. They have an independent meaning unto themselves. So that's something. All right, so getting back to the Keren Ora. So again, point number one of the Keren Ora, there's no requirement of Lishma in Kodshim, just that a machsheva shelo lishma is a machsheva that undermines the karma. Avol begerushim, he says, came on the isha lav legerushin omedis. Again, even though the husband may have made a decision that he wants to divorce his wife, but that doesn't change her status. I mean, just like he decided to divorce her, he could decide not to divorce her. He says, HaTorah Omra Sheyich Tov Lishma. Torah says that the get has to be written Lishma. How is this different from Kachim? So if you go back to the beginning of this presentation, he says the following. He says, in Kachim, he doesn't have to have a Lishma. Why? HaMaisa Atzmo Kemo Azvicha Vazrika Nasis beHechsher. We have an action that sets up the Hechsher on karma, and therefore that replaces the din or the requirement of Lishma. Tell you, I'll prove it to you. The Afilu Mechavim Bekodshim Machshava Shalol Lishma Kmo L'Shem Chulin Ksheira. The Gemara establishes on Daf Gimel that even if the Kohen had in mind L'Shem Chulin, the carbon is kosher. Hainu mishum delo imayit, what was excluded, el l'shem zevach acher, the karov, something that's similar to the carbon that he wanted, and as he switched it from one carbon to the other. However, in the case of machsheves chulin, betelahi, that's a machsheva betelah, in other words, it doesn't register at all. And therefore, havikolo chishev klal, it's as if he didn't think anything, meaning there's no negative kavaniya for a different kind of carbon, and therefore kshera. So again, just to review, the Keren Ora proves, as we saw before in the Brisker Rav, there's a very great similarity between the two, that there's no requirement of Lishma. That's why L'Shem Chulin is absolutely kosher. Why? Even though he doesn't have a Kavanah L'Shem Ola, L'Shem Shlomim, whatever it was, nevertheless the Korban is kosher. Why? Because the Torah never required Lishma. And Machsheves Chulin is not a negative Lishma. And therefore it's betela. It's as if it didn't exist. However, he says, a parallel case in Gittin, where he wrote the get with a machshava that's not relevant, but it's not lishma, that would passel the get. And he says the following. Beautiful raya that he says. There's a gemara, he says, on daf mem zayin omed aleph. And the Gemara wants to know, what's the deal in Misasek? A Misasek in Kodshim. In other words, he's totally unaware of the fact that this behemoth is a behemoth Kodshim. And he shechts it because he thinks it's a behemoth Chulin. And the Gemara vacillates back and forth on Daf Mem Zayin as to whether or not this carbon is kosher. Until the Gemara concludes, based on a Yalfusa, a special limud that teaches us that Misasek Bekodshim is possible. So the Keren Ora says, Lechora, Lomali Kra, why does the Gemara need a pasuk to tell me Misasek Bekodshim is possible? Hare Zegarua Mistama. He says, it's worse than Mistama. In other words, at least in the case of Mistama, he doesn't think that it's an Ola or a Shlomim. He knows it's Kachim. Kachim, at least that much he knows. So he's doing a Shechit of Kachim. He just doesn't know whether it's an Ola or a Shlomim in the case of Stama. So he has this generic, all-inclusive Lishma for all Karbonos. That should be possible. And the answer is that we have a principle called Mistama Lishma. In the case of Misasik B'Kodshim, he's not even aware that it's Kodshim. He doesn't even have this generic Kavana L'Shem Kodshim. Certainly it should be possible. And not only that, says the Keren Ora, in Get, in the parallel case in Get, the Get would be possible. What would be a generic kind of Kavana in Get? Or, no, let me say even better than that, not a generic kavan and get, for anyone who's Reuven, or for any Reuven who's married to Leah, on the face of the earth, but something that's even worse, it's like, it's misasek. What's the parallel case in get of misasek? Le'inyon get lehislamed. What's lehislamed? Right, apprentice. That's right, exactly. You've got these sofrim that are learning how to do safrus, and he's practicing by writing again. In other words, he doesn't even have a generic kavana for the gerushin of some Rachel or some Leah. He's just thinking, let me try to write a name here. So he picks a name out of the hat, and he writes Rachel just to see if he can write a reish lamed ches. In that case, the Gemara says, on the base of it, base, and we'll get to it soon, that the get is possible. And in such a case, the Gemara doesn't need any sort of yalfusa. The Torah says, because of law, sefer krisus, law lishma, this man had no intention for gerushin, he was just doing it with Islamic. And that's misasik. So then why, says the Karen Ora, does the Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin require a pasuk to tell me that misasik bekodshim is possible? What was that mean to say that you could be machshir the kodesh, the karmon, if he's misasik, he's not even aware of the fact that it's kodshim? Where's the machshavas lishma? Lefia nal nicha. He says, now I can answer that question. He says, kema de lo be'ina machshavas lishma. There is no requirement to lishma. Is kol shalokhi shev lezevach acher. He didn't think of a different karbon. Havi kistama. And stama is perfectly valid in kodshim. Is therefore, I would have thought that if he's misasek and he wanted to shech chulin, it should be perfectly fine. Is kamash v'lon, I need this pasuk to tell me that misasek v'kodshim is possible. Again, what was the half-meter to say that misasek v'kodshim is possible? Misasek in get is certainly possible. Excuse me, what was the half-meter to say that misasek v'kodshim is kosher, and I need a pasuk to tell me that it's possible? After all, misasek in get is possible, and misasek is worse than stoma. Says the Karen Ora, the Havamina was that since there's no requirement of Lishma in a positive sense with regard to Kodshim, as long as you don't have a negative Kavana L'Zevach Acher, therefore I would have thought that if he's Misasek, okay, so he thinks it's Chulin, but he doesn't have a negative Machshava, Kamash V'lan, at least he has to know that he's Shechting a Shechita of Avodas HaKarban, that he's Shechting a Karban. So Rav Bosei comes out, according to the Karen Ora, that there are basically three levels, or maybe four levels. Let's see what the number, the accurate numbers. First of all, there's something called a positive kavana lishma. Then we have something called stoma. And then we have something that is less than stoma, which is called misasek. And then number four, we have the worst kavana, which is kavana l'shem zevach acher. So the Karen Ora says the following. This is his analysis. In the case of Kavana, we had Kavana, that's perfectly valid. That's fine. What about the case of Mistama? He had some sort of generic Kavana for Kodshim, not for Ola or for Shlomim or for Chatos. And that also is fine. Why? Because we have a principle called Stama Kilishma Dami with regard to Kodshim. Then we get to the third case, where he's not even aware that it's kodshim. So he doesn't have a general, kind of generic, all-inclusive lishma l'shem kodshim. Says the Karen Ora, logically, that should also be fine, because it's no different than listama. In other words, in the case of listama, he didn't have kavana l'shem, this zevach, and yet it was kosher. So in the case of misasek, where he's not even aware that it's a zevach, he thinks it's chulin, that should also be valid. Kamash v'lan, for that we need a pasuk in get. We don't need a pasuk for that, because if he was misasek like the Talmud who's learning how to write a get, and he has no kavanah l'shem gerushin whatsoever, it's like chulin, so to speak, then the get is not worth the paper it's written on. So I would have thought the same thing should apply to kodesh. The answer is that in get you need a positive lishma, and here he doesn't have it, but in the case of kodesh you don't need a positive lishma, and if I would think that even misasek should be kosher. And then we have another case, and that's where he has a machshava shalol l'shem zevach, meaning shalol l'shem this karmon, el l'zevach acher, and that's called a negative kavana, and that is what the Mishnah is dealing with in our case, and it's not ola l'shem, l'shem bayla. That's what we have here in the Karen Ora. So what I really would like you to remember is that the Karen Ora, three points. Number one, He says that in Kodshim you don't need a positive Kavana Lishma. Number two, he says in Get you need a positive Kavana Lishma. Number three, he says that I have a proof that there's no need, no requirement of Kavana Lishma in Kodshim from the fact that the Gemara, the Sugya in Memzai, needs a Pasuk to teach you that Misasik B'Kodshim is Pasul, and without, in the absence of that Libur, that Yalfusa Misasik B'Kodshim will be Kosher. He's not even aware of the fact that it's Kodshim. The answer is, because since there's no requirement in the positive sense of Lishma, what do I care? As long as he got it right. As long as he did the Avoda Behechshera. Now at this point, the Karen Ori gets a little nervous. Why? Because of a Sugya in Erevin. The Sugya in Erevin deals with something called Megillas Sota. Now Megillas Sota means that after a woman is designated as a Sota, after Kinyan Stira, she has to drink a concoction. And half of that concoction is made up of a Megillah. A Megillah means that they write out on parchment, you know, a section in the Torah from Parshas Noso, if I remember correctly, and that has to be mixed in a whole concoction, and they force her to drink that concoction, right? Oh. So the Gemara wants to know in Masechta Erevin, what happens if they have a Sefer Torah and they remove everything in the Sefer Torah barring the parsha of Megillah Sota. So again, this Megillah Sota was written for the sake of what? Of a Sefer Torah. Oh. So the Gemara says that in the case of a Megillah Sota that was written with Hislamet, in other words, he was practicing as an apprentice his skills, learning skills, and he wrote the parsha of Sota, that Megillah is kosher. It's kosher. Why? Because the only psul in Megillah Sota is if he wrote the Megillah for a different Sota, the wrong Sota. Hopefully there shouldn't be too many, okay? But the many sugyos in Shas where there's more than one Sota. So he wrote it for the wrong Sota. That's possible. But if he wrote it Lehislame, because he's learning, or as Tosus extends it to the case where he wrote it as a Sefer Torah and then he's mochek most of the Sefer Torah except for Parshas Sota, that's considered Lestoma, and in Megillah Sota Stoma is kosher. Now this is very fascinating, because what we're saying in the case of Megillah Sota that Stoma is kosher, is, even though, again, if he wrote it for the wrong Sota, what's the status? Okay. It's possible. But if he wrote it Mistoma, in order to learn, or as to say, for Torah, then it's kosher. Now, one point is obvious here. That's not equal to Get, right? In Get, if he wrote the Get with Islame, the Gemara says that's absolutely possible.
Why is Sefer Torah stomach? It's for another purpose.
Oh, as long as the Gemara says, as long as it's not L'shem Isha Acheres. In other words, this has to do again with the sugya of Shalom B'Minon Eino Posel Eino Machriv. So Sefer Torah is like Shalom B'Mino, and therefore it's not a negative machshav. But if he wrote it for a Megillah Sota, but he wrote it for the wrong Sota, that already passels the Megillah Sota. So now it comes out the following. We pointed out that even in Kodshim, where Staman Lishma, you don't need a Machsheves Lishma, nevertheless, in a case of Misasek, where he's not aware at all that it's Kodshim, we said that it's possible. And the Gemara derives that from a Yalfusa. Here, he wrote the Megillah Sota Lislamet, And yet it's kosher. How do we understand that? He didn't even have in mind L'shem Megillah Sota, or in the case of the Sefer Torah. Now, obviously, he says that Yesh L'chalik be Megillah Sota L'get. Obviously, Megillah Sota is not like Get, because Get We don't say stoma kilishma dami because isha lav ligerishin omedes. Why are we going to say that sota is different? And unless he has a negative kavana l'shem isha cheres, even in the absence of the kavana l'shem isha zu, the Megillah Sota is kshera. And then after that, we have to go even a step further. Even if he wrote it as a Sefer Torah Islamin, which is misasek is kosher. But first, let's focus on the following case. Let's take the case of stoma. He wrote it as a Megillah Sota, okay? But he didn't have in mind this particular sota. Why is that different than a sofer writes a get and he didn't have in mind this specific isha? So he says that's not a problem. Why? Because even though in gerishin we say stam isha lav legerishin omedes, but in the case of sota, he omedes liksivas megila ulashkosa. Since she's already established as a sota, she's earmarked for what? For Megillah Sota, because the mitzvah is to be Mashkeh the Sota, is therefore, even though he didn't have in mind for this particular woman, it's considered as if it was Lishma, and therefore stomach Lishma Dami. That I can understand. Just like a karbon is Omed Lihi Karev, and therefore you don't need a Lishma, and it's Omed Lihi Karev B'Taras Ola, so he doesn't need L'shem Ola. So too, in the Megillah Sota, for this woman, he doesn't have to have in mind this woman because she herself is Omedes L'shem Ksivas Megillah Sota. And that's called Stoma Ksheira. So he doesn't need in Sota a specific positive Kavana L'shem Megillah Sota. Masha'en can beget to be Inan Kavanas L'shma because Isha Lav L'shem Gerishin Omedes. It's possible. Oh. So now he asks the following question. What would be, according to Beis Shammai, there's a sugya in Gittin Daf Tzadi, Machlok Shim Beis Sil Beis Shammai, when, under what conditions is a person allowed to divorce his wife? And Rabbi Akiva says he came home and the Gdiach es Tavshilo, the cholent was burnt, so he's allowed to divorce his wife. Beit Shammai holds that Ein Legarish Elim Kein Zinsa, only if he's required to give her a get because she was Mizana, let's say there are Eidim that testify that she was Mizana, then he's obligated to give her a get. Says the Karen Ora, in such a case, according to Beit Shammai, every single get is earmarked for a woman that is omedes legerishin, because you're not allowed to divorce your wife going to Beit Shammai unless zinsa taktov, his name, or we should say stoma kilishma. Do you hear the question? Just like in Megillah Sota, we said that the Megillah doesn't require lishma. Why? Because she's omedes for ksivas Megillah Sota. We had already kini and stira. She's a sota. She requires hashkah. But in the case of get, stam isha lav l'shem gerishin omedes, says the Karen Ora Nicha, according to Beisila, but according to Beit Shammai, that only in the case of an isha shezinsa you're allowed to be divorced. So then stam isha and get, according to Beit Shammai, is legerishin omedes. What's the difference between stam isha, according to Beit Shammai, in gerishin, in writing the get, and a sota with regard to Megillah Sota? Where we say stam lishma?
You're saying stam isha, even if she wasn't mizana.
No. What I'm saying is that in gerishin, meaning when are you allowed to divorce your wife? Stam isha in gerishin, according to Beit Shammai, is an isha shezinsa, and if she's an isha shezinsa, she's required to divorce her. So she's omedes
to get after she was mizana.
No, that's a good point, Sam. He wrote to get after she was Mizana, right? Because if he wrote to get before she was Mizana, then she's not Omedes L'shem Gerishin. Oh. So he says the following. That this is not right. Even according to Beit Shammai, we need Lishma in get. Impossible to say otherwise. So why don't we apply the principle of that we do in Zvachim, that Stam, Korba, L'shem Zvicha, L'shem Lishma Omedes, and apply it now to Gerishin and the Isha, according to Beit Shammai. He says the following. Shiny Hocha Bizvachim, you remember the introduction of the Keren Ora, Dehamaisa Zvicha Atzma Behechsher Nases. All four avodos on this karmon were implemented properly. And therefore Kavona Loma Akva. I will get Einze Maisa Begufa. He says the get is not an action on a woman's goof. You know, there's an asina, you have to give it to her, but you're not changing her goof. And therefore, since the get is not a maisa begufa, it's richa Torah shetia haksivo lishma dafka. He says the following, that when the Torah says that you need ksiva lishma in get, what the Torah is really telling us is that there's nothing in ksiva saget that makes the get into a get. Notice the action of writing a get does not in any sense or any form create some change in the world. In other words, in kunshim, why do we say stama lishma? Because he did his vicha. And this vicha is a meaningful action. It's machshir of the karbon. That itself is enough to direct the karbon or single out the karbon as a karbon. And the Torah only requires that he shouldn't have a negative karbon for a different zemach. But in the case of writing a get, there's no action that's being done that clearly indicates that this woman is being divorced. He's only writing what? A get. But there's no maisa begufa. There's no maisa begufa that changes her status into a woman who is megureshes. And therefore, hitzricha Torah shetia ksiva lishma dafka. So at this point, the Keren Ora thinks that he's out of trouble over here, and he can understand why the principle of stama lishma applies to kachin, but it could never apply to gerushin in ksiva saget, even in the case of beishamai, because there's no maisa begufa. But now he's in trouble. Why? Because we just finished proving that in the case of Megillah Sota, the Gemara establishes that as long as he didn't have kavana for a different Sota, then we apply the principle of stama. And why is that? Because what happens to a Sota? What does she need? She needs the ksiva of Megillah Sota Vashkasa Sota. And now she's on Medes Lekach. Yeah, but there's no Maisa Begufa. He's only writing a Megillah Sota. See, he writes, V'hua din Megillah Sota, Einkan Maisa Begufa, Izim Kein Lecha Lameimar Stoma Lishmakai. We're in deep trouble over here. The Keren Ora is trying to juggle so many principles until he finally hits a brick wall. One principle he wants to say is that in Kodshim, this stama lishma, and then you don't need a lishma because the maisa akrova is machshir, the carbon itself. In get, you need lishma because there's no maisa begufa. And therefore, we cannot apply the principle of stama lishma. The Torah is going to require a specific kavana l'shem isha, that isha. Then we get to Megillah Sota. Megillah Sota, clearly, his principle is stama lishma. As long as he doesn't have kavana for another Sota, the Megillah Sota is kshera. In fact, the Megillah Sota is kshera, even Tosfos says in the case of l'slame, the Gemara talks about the case of a Sefer Torah. What happened over here? Ella, what are you going to answer me? Because in the case of a Sota, she's on Beres. If you apply that principle, let's apply to get, at least according to Beit Shammai, because she was an Isha Shezin, so therefore she's Omenes Ligerishin. But we don't say that because we need, in order to establish Stama Lishma, we need a Maisa Shemagufa. And that we have in Kachin, we don't have in Gittin, we don't have it in Megillah Sota either. Very strange, he says. And then this is where he gets stuck. So I did want to quote to you a footnote here that I found on the bottom. And he says the following. He says that he thinks that if the Keren Ora wanted to prove that you don't need Lishma, that there's no positive requirement to Lishma, he says the Keren Ora, he doesn't know why, should have quoted a sugya lehedja in the Gemara in Zvachim. And that's called Akira Bitos Lo Havi Akira. What does Akira Bitos mean? The Kohen Ha'oved, when he had in mind in this Ola L'Shem Shlomim, or for that matter, in this Chatos L'Shem Shlomim, he was unaware of the fact that this was a carbon Ola, and he simply made a mistake. There was nothing deliberate about his change in the Shem Kodesh. And the Gemara establishes that Akira Bitos, Lav Akirahu, that the carbon is kosher. So all the Shalom Lishma is only when he's deliberate and he's well aware of the fact that it should have been a Kavana L'Shem Zevach. According to the Keren Ora, it's beautiful, because the Keren Ora says that there's no requirement of Lishma. The guy had a Kavana in the Ola L'Shem Shalom. He did not have a Kavana L'Shem Ola. He's not at fault. He made a toast. But at the end of the day, Onis Kemad the Ovid Lach. He didn't have a Kavana L'Shem Ola. So if you're going to argue that in Kodshim we need a Kavana L'Shem Ola, how could it be possible that Akira B'Tos, Lav Shvei Akira? And I would add another footnote here. Since we saw in the footnote in the Masifta that Rabbi Kotler was of the opinion that Stomel L'Shma in Kodshim means that we can assume that he had a Kavana L'Shma, then if that be the case, if he had a Kavana L'Shem Shlomim in an Ola, certainly he can't say that he had a Kavana L'Shem Ola. Ella, what, he did it B'Tos. Okay, so he did it B'Tos. We're not going to give him Patch. But that's not enough to create a positive Kavana L'Shem Ola. So that is a clear-cut proof that the Keren Ora is right, that in Kodshim, you don't need a Kavana L'Shma. Why don't you need a Kavana L'Shma? So the Keren Ora says you don't need a Kavana L'Shma because he did the Avoda, the Zvicha, etc. Behechsher. Maybe there's a different reason why you don't need Kavana L'Shma. And that's because of the Shem Karban. The Shem Karban is the Shem Karban itself, since it's Begufo Shel Karban, that it's an Ola, that itself makes it into a Karban Ola. I don't have to make it into a Karban Ola. In the case of a Get, it's a Niyar B'Alma, it's only a piece of paper, I have to make it into a Get. How do I make it into a Get? By having Kavana L'Shem Gerishin. But in the case of a carbon, it already is a carbon. He was Magdish the carbon, and it's a Chepseshal carbon. I don't need Lishma in order to create a carbon. So, B'li Neder, I want to go over this Keren Ora again, and because there's so many profound ideas here. But for now, what I want to do with you together is study a piece here. It's called Simon Hay in the Sefer Nefesh Tova. We have that? Okay, I hope we have it. Now, in order to appreciate this piece in the Nefesh Tova, I would ask you to fast forward to Daf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, I'll tell you where it is in just a minute, it's towards the top. About almost 10 lines down from the top, Lichidisanya. The first word in the line is Miboyle. So Gemara says, Venirtzalo Lechaper Olaf. And the Gemara derives from this pasuk that, and if anyone wants to look up the pasuk inside, you'll see it in Vayikra Aleph Pasuk Dalet. It's Mamish, the first reading in Sefer Vayikra. And the Gemara says, Olav velo al chavero. The Gemara thinks that we could derive from this the psul of what's called Shini Bailim. The Gemara says, no, we need it for something else. Mi boile lechidasanya. Vinirtza lo lechaper olav, Rabbi Shimon Omer, es she olav. No, it's emphasized the word olav in this pasuk. Chayav bachre yuso. And Rashi explains that what this means is that if a person takes a neder, that he will bring a carbon, let's say he takes a neder, he'll bring a carbon ola, then he's got to be responsible for fulfillment of this neder, that's called achrayus, meaning if the person took the neder and then he took Elsie the cow and he says that she's designated as a carbon as a carbon ola, and then Elsie flies the coop or drops dead of a heart attack, premature death, then he's got to find another cow. Okay. Now, Rashi, at the very beginning of Zvachim, says the following. Rashi says, and this you'll see four lines down from the top, that if he shechted the ola l'shem shlomim, lo ola l'bay l'shem chovosa. So Rashi says, v'tzarech lahavi acher l'chovoso o l'nidro. And we'll leave out the last two words because that's going to be another discussion of ours, but he's got to bring another carbon, lechovaso o lenidro. So what does that mean, lenidro? It sounds like Rashi's saying that a person takes a neder, he takes a pledge, he's got to fulfill his pledge. We have an entire parasha in the Dorim at the end of Sefer Bamidbar there, right? In Parashas Matos. The problem with this Rashi is that he was Mekayim his neder. Now, you should be throwing rotten apples at me, rotten oranges, or whatever it is, because what do you mean he was Mekayim his neder? He